Lots to talk about on tonight's episode of The Walk-Ons, the most entertaining Iowa podcast in the world. You found it here. Harbaugh, right before we started recording, officially leaving Michigan to go and coach for the LA Chargers. We talk about the implications of that on Michigan and the Big Ten moving forward. More rumors about who could be Iowa's offensive coordinator. The gambling news that came out from last summer's whole situation. And will AJ Ferrari be a Hawkeye? Let's have a day. Let's go. Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Just two former walk-ons from the University of Iowa, formerly three, but now just two, and some random kid that we hired as an intern. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. Grant, your haircut's looking great tonight.
Oh, thank you. I mean, can we get a Kevin Ward haircut check? Or we got a hood up today. Okay.
Kevin's in the mobile unit again, recording from the couch. I suspect we'll be seeing more of that as time pans on.
This might be where I'm at my best, honestly.
I would agree. Knowing you, I do think when you're horizontal, that's where you shine. Won't divulge into any more of that. We're going to start off hot tonight. Jim Harbaugh.
No longer a Michigan Wolverine.
In and out. Gets his natty. And he'll be moving on officially. Just what, maybe 20 minutes ago across Twitter. Mm-hmm. This was the head coach of the formerly San Diego Chargers, now the LA Chargers. How do we feel about this?
I can't get rid of this guy. I can't get rid of him. He follows me wherever I go.
Oh, that's why you said that at the beginning before we hit record, because they're in the same.
I was saying that you were like, oh, I'm starting with this. And I was like, well, I could easily derail this podcast to something else. But
okay.
No, but yeah, I mean, as a Broncos fan or as an Iowa Broncos fan, I'm like, okay, he's gone. Don't have to worry about Jim Harbaugh in the Big Ten anymore. And then, oh, shoot, never mind. I have him twice a year now, actually.
It's worse.
I get this even more.
Yeah, it's worse.
That division is like head coach wise. If you just go resumes, it's not bad.
It's not bad. Do you think speculation is that Sherrone Moore, OC, finalist with Phil Parker for the Broyles Award this year, will be the front runner for that head coaching spot? Assume he gets it, or assume he doesn't. I don't care. Do you think Michigan takes a clear step back here? I mean, they already were probably going to. We've talked about how they were super veteran. Oh, Kev, we don't have you. We can't hear you.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I'll ask another question in the meantime. Yeah, is step back just not winning the national title next year? Because then probably yes.
And that's a...
Or is step back just like 8-4 or 10-2?
That is tough, right?
What do you define as step back from Michigan?
Well, because when we went 15-0 12-0 in 2015 is what I meant.
That'd be pretty cool.
I wish we would have went 15-0. It's hard to go into that next season knowing how hard it is to win football games and be like, okay, we're probably going to do worse than last year, but that doesn't mean that the season that we could have won't be a success, right? So like for Michigan, it's really hard to expect back-to-back natties, regardless of Alabama and Georgia both doing it recently, semi-recently. Like, yeah, so I don't know what a natural step back would be, so I guess... Are they going to go further back than the natural regression is the question. We still don't have Kevin. Oh my God. I don't know what happened.
He's paying homage to silent movies.
He is Charlie Chaplin right now. Do you think so, Grant?
With Kevin, his mic?
No, with Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of Michigan fans, I think they're going to grade it as whoever comes in. It's going to be first. Oh, that's Kevin's mic.
Hey. Hey.
Here we go.
Hey, glad to be here, boys.
Glad to have you.
Sorry, keep going.
Oh, I was going to say, well, I think Michigan fans are going to grade whoever comes in. Let's say it's Moore or Jeff Fisher or someone, I don't care who it is, comes in. It's going to be like, do they beat Ohio State?
Yeah.
It's going to be the first one.
Yep.
And then it's going to be, where are we in the Big Ten? And then if you beat Ohio State, it's probably the top 1-2 now with the new teams coming in. And then outside of that, it's like, if you get there, it's like you're probably in national title discussion anyway. So I think it's going to kind of base around that, if that makes sense. Like, I think when you're in, it's like, are you going to beat Ohio State? And then Jim Harbaugh for a while couldn't beat Ohio State. Mm. And then once he got to beating Ohio State, it's, are we going to get to the playoff? Or can we win a playoff game? Can we win the national title? And it progresses that way for Michigan fans, at least.
How does it go in reverse, though, is the question, right?
I think it's
unrealistic to expect them to repeat as national champions. And even repeating as Big Ten champions is going to be a tall order for them. Like Kluver said, they're a very top-heavy team this last year. Losing a head coach. Granted, yeah, Sherrone Moore seems like the natural fit, as he was already the interim head coach for, what, I feel like 7 out of the 12 games.
I was going to say more than half the season.
It was more than half of the regular season. But the other thing that this opens up to is head coaches leaves. Does their roster just get raided by the entire Power Five?
Yeah.
Like we just saw Alabama's getting done.
Exactly. Exactly what I was going to bring up.
Why I would think that if, like, you have to go with an internal hire if you're Michigan, if you want to keep any semblance of the roster that you thought you had going into this next year.
We just saw that nobody's immune to it. Literally, Alabama, the place to go if you're a top college football player, just got smoked by it. But why do I feel, and do you guys agree, that maybe Michigan will retain more than Alabama does, even without the internal hire?
Is it just because they were so heavy on like upperclassmen and future NFL guys that it's like, okay, we're going to bring these guys anyway?
I mean, yeah, it's possible, since like they have so much leaving this year naturally that
a bunch of guys are going
to try to go raid the pantries, but they have a lot of unproven.
No. And also it probably helps too. If it's a, like with they bring in more, it's a guy they know. It's not like, oh, we're going to bring in this dude from New Mexico. You guys have never met before. Doesn't know you guys. It's like, this guy already knows how this works, what you guys like. So it could help a little, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like the cultures probably in Michigan and Alabama aren't exactly the same. Don't exactly attract the same type of recruits. Probably. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
It was like, you know, these kids that at Alabama were recruited to a team that, like, if you spent 4 years there, you won a national title.
Right.
These kids that recruited to Michigan. Ooh, I mean, the oldest of them probably committed to a Michigan team that never beat Ohio State.
Yeah. You know,
the younger two or three classes obviously would have, you know, committed to a playoff team, but, you know, it's probably not as front runner heavy of a group, if that makes sense.
That's what I was getting at. I feel, and I don't know
if that's fair to say to the Alabama recruits but I feel like you understand what I'm trying to say.
That's exactly what I was getting at. I don't think I can say it in a sentence of what it is. For some reason, internally, for me, the way I view both programs, for some reason, I feel more of a buy-in to sticking around in this specific case that both Alabama and Michigan are going through from Michigan than I do from Alabama. And I could be wrong.
Well, yeah, Michigan's whole thing is it's a lot like pride. Like, they're all like, what was Harbaugh saying? It's like, when I die, I want my tombstone to say father, son, husband, Michigan man. Like, they're all about like,
that's what I'm saying.
They have this big like Michigan man pride thing that goes on
there. Well, and also on top of that is like, for the past several years, you know, they've been getting hit by infractions by the Big Ten, NCAA. They kind of developed this Michigan versus the world mentality.
Right. Yeah, I feel like there's more of a story at Michigan than there is at Alabama, where it's just like, hey, yeah, equally talented football teams, but as far as what's behind the curtain, there's just a little more substance up here in Ann Arbor. I don't know.
I don't know if it's more substance, but
maybe a bad word, but you know,
I think I will say that Saban definitely meant more to Alabama than Harbaugh meant to Michigan.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
It's crazy of how important Jim Harbaugh, like career-wise, has been to Michigan.
True. As well. Yeah, it's just impossible. I mean, Saban's the GOAT. When they were putting up his statistics as he retired and all that went down, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, the guy.
Yeah, I mean, and Saban did it for 16 years there.
Almost 20, yeah.
Harbaugh was an above average coach until COVID. After the COVID year is when Michigan turned into an
really until Connor Stallions.
Yeah, some would point to the correlation.
Is he the successor?
I think Connor Stallions might be applying for this job.
I mean, he has the manifesto, right?
I think he should get it. He does have the manifesto. Clearly, he wants to take over.
Immediately, standout candidate. If you have a manifesto on how you're gonna, like, if another, when I applied to this, if another dude sent the walk on manifesto, I was screwed.
Yeah, you were fucked,
Grant. You need to write the walk on manifesto.
Yeah, you should start working on that. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting topic. It will be interesting because obviously now, starting literally as we record this podcast, transfer portal's open for Michigan Wolverine players. Now, that's going to be tough because the semester's already started for second semester. So I don't know what that looks like, but I mean, I suppose guys could it'll be weird. It'll be really weird to.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like you probably can't get enrolled to participate in spring ball.
Probably not. You
could probably enroll for like summer classes, go through summer strength conditioning and camp.
Yes. Yes. So maybe there's a lag on the exodus of Michigan players. Maybe they'll spend a spring but they'll be talking to,
They still have to enter the transfer portal, right? They'd still have to leave their current institution.
Correct.
Yep. And if you're really, you know, bought in on being an athlete and making hundreds of thousands of dollars through NIL deals, you can afford to take the semester off of school.
Yeah, for sure. I would have loved that.
You've been like, oh, this sounds like an awesome deal all around.
It would have been our NFL pro day training semester in the middle of your career. How awesome does that sound?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I just want to live that life all the time. So will be interesting to see that a little fun thing that happened.
I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
I say, do you think conveniently that a certain Iowa player with Michigan connections is going to start dialing up the phone, making some calls potentially?
That's a fantastic question.
And if so, who would you, like, if you could nudge, like, hey, why don't you call this guy?
I don't even know their roster that well, but
preferably wide receiver.
I would say you look at the wide receivers, and at this point, I know we just got Proctor, but that O-line phone call is always open at this point because
they had some dudes.
They've got some dudes, which means that if they had one of the best offensive lines in the country, it means that their twos and their threes probably got a couple dudes waiting there. So that's where I would look. I mean, quite honestly, our defense is so good. And I'm a homer and bought into our guys that like stuck around. We got five guys using their COVID year. Like, I don't want to replace anybody on our defense. Maybe add one D lineman to the rotation.
They've got a stud corner over there. I forget if he's going to the draft this year or not.
Some corner depth would be great, you know, but I would look starter wise at the offensive side of the ball. And
I don't think that's crazy.
Right. I don't think I'm not the only one in that boat. So, as Kevin said before we hit the record button, just killing it on the timing of content with our most recent episodes. It's like stuff happens and we're recording 30 minutes later. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, how do you think he'll do?
Nothing to talk about.
Yeah. How do you think he'll do back in the league? He was very successful with the 49ers.
He was until like he reportedly lost the locker room, right?
Yeah.
And I can see that.
He's a cheesy guy.
He's a weird dude, man.
Weird.
Just on the surface level, he's just a weird guy. And I can see how that puts off dudes who are not 18 to 22 anymore.
Puts off adults.
Grown-ass men with wives and children, you know? It's like, stop talking to me about, like, chickens being a nervous bird. I don't like dude. Just
I don't eat chicken.
Yeah.
Nervous bird. I had chicken today, by the way. Yeah, that is the thing, right? Like, I think we've talked about it before. I think it's kind of a well-known thing when the coaching carousel is happening is there are some guys who are meant for college, and I think he's very meant for college. Like, he clearly has found a way to connect with the 18 to 24 demographic, but guys who have families and kids and where they're getting paid millions to do, they're getting paid more than him, right? Like,
I mean, to be fair, he did also take a team to the Super Bowl. So, like, it wasn't like he just totally burned out. Like, he didn't go do like a Chip Kelly.
No, him and his brother, John had probably the coolest thing you could do as a football guy. You coached opposite sides to the Super Bowl, and literally it's called the Harbowl. Like,
that's pretty cool.
It's the coolest thing.
Grant, you probably don't remember what came off that one.
The lights turning off? I remember I was at my friend Dax Smith's house. We were watching it.
Look at that.
We were like, oh my gosh, dude, we have school tomorrow. We're staying up so late to watch football right now. This is crazy.
How old would you have been?
I think I was definitely in elementary school.
You would have been maybe 10 years
old. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I remember that season very well.
What year were you born again?
Because that was when Jacoby Jones just ripped my soul out in the Broncos. And with
Jacoby
that,
Jones.
The Joe Flacco pass. Like, we had the game. And then just a 60-yard bomb right in my face.
That was Tim Tebow era, wasn't it?
No, it was Manning's first year. So like 2012, maybe.
Yep, sounds about right. Say.
Yeah. Sorry. That's
derailed. So it'll be interesting to see if he can gather that locker room, keep them, and become successful. It obviously, like, you always want somebody to do well, and that would just add to like the storylines of the of pro football. So be interesting to see. Have some exciting news on the walk-on front.
Do we have like a fun breaking news button on the button panel?
No, but I think that would be easy to get like a little breaking news, like dun dun dun, like something like dun, some dun, kind of news. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Imagine that just played. This has been for like a week now, and I just forgot to say it in the last couple episodes, but we did officially cross 3,000 YouTube subscribers.
Hey.
And 250,000 lifetime views on our YouTube channel. 250,000 views.
How about it?
That's pretty good for like the very secondary, unproduced, like, medium of our podcast. I think that's like, I'm fairly proud of that.
Very cool.
Not only that, but as of this past weekend, our podcast crossed 4 million lifetime downloads.
Jeez.
Wow. 4 milli vanillies.
I like how that's 800 people over and over again.
It's not the same. I mean, it is the same people over and over again, but it is more than 800 people. So that's cool. We also have in the bookkeeping items tonight a review. We have a review from Apple Podcasts.
All right.
This is our most recent one, and last time we did a positive one. Tonight we'll do a not positive one.
Wait, what's the date on this one?
Yeah, I imagine what this was done by.
This review was done on, I believe, the 12th. So this was done like almost 2 weeks ago, just barely 2 weeks ago.
Oh, interesting timing. Okay.
Review. 1 star, by the way. Title of the review is Unsubscribed. Drake is a dumb, dumb poopy head. Great idea for creating this podcast and what it is, but he is toxic. I will be back when he is all caps gone.
That's a weird timing though, because that was before he went on his second tirade and like months after he actually left.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think people don't listen exactly.
Also, we got to bring back the insult of poopy head.
Poopy head is a great, I mean, that is solid.
Yeah. Just calling people doo-doo pants, poopy's heads, butthead. Butthead was my go-to back in the day.
Butthead.
There's no coming back from that.
Butt face.
You get that at the four-square section of the playground, it's over.
Like imagine you're in an actual argument and someone just calls you a butthead.
Like, imagine, Kevin, you're in your day-to-day. Like, you're trying to sell, I don't know, you're talking to a doctor and they don't like what you have to say, or you get into a little scuffle and you're just like, you know what, sir? You're a poopy head.
Can you imagine hearing that on the
good day?
That's what like Philip Rivers would say on his NFL mic'd up.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins would definitely be like, you know, like on the All Access whatever quarterback, I think was the title of that show, and he'd be like talking to his kids. See that guy that tackled dad in that clip right there, son? He's a poopy head.
Oh, dude. I mean, how great was Kirk Cousins though in that show?
He's pretty great. He seems like a great dude. Also, another review. I don't know if this really counts. This was more like someone didn't know how to contact us. Our DMs are open on social, but someone decided to instead go and leave us a 5-star review, which is great. And they said, "Is the merch at Shields legit?" Question mark. That's the title of the review. There is HBAM at Shields, and I wanted to know if it was from you guys or if they were making their own. Which this is the first confirmation I have that yes, that is our stuff at Shields.
Hey, so wow.
Let's go. Wow. Let's go. I'm gonna have to run out there this weekend, and
which Shields were they at?
I believe it's only at the Des Moines location right now.
How do we not have it at the Corvo location?
That in AdCraft. I don't know. We're going to. It's just the Des Moines location was the first one to jump and purchase like an inventory of us. So I'm gonna have to go out there, take a picture, put it on social, say, "Hey, go buy our stuff at Shields. We're in retail. We're officially in retail, boys.
We're in the retail business now.
Let's go." Huge. Come on. So this is the start of hopefully something great. And
we're also in the liquor business too.
We are. I'm telling you, we're diversifying very well.
You've got a very diversified portfolio.
Yeah, what's our next stop?
We're also in cryptocurrency, right? We still have some Bitcoin.
Technically, yeah, we have. Yes.
Is that still there?
Yep. I haven't touched it since the day I bought it.
What's it down? Like 20% since we bought it?
What is Grant? Can you get me the current price of Bitcoin? I can tell you how much.
I know it's come back in the last several months a little bit.
But but yeah, Kev, we are pretty well diversified here on the walk-ons.
It's 40,000.
Oh, that's exactly what I bought it at. So it's gone nowhere for us.
And you bought it like 3 years ago. Inflation. It's worth about 85% of what it was
back. Yeah.
Do you remember what year you purchased this in?
It would have been 20 or 21. I don't know.
Okay. It's definitely gone up since 20, but 21, it was pretty similar right now. So
okay. It was probably 21 then. So yeah, if you happen to go out to Shields or you're shopping in Shields and you see Hawks by a Million, that is not a copycat. That is the Washed Up Walk-Ons. We're in there. We hope to expand our offerings. Right now, it's just the OG HBAM in both black and gold, the opposite designs. And I'm going to try to go out there, get a picture with some of the t-shirts and post it on social media to get a big push. The walk-ons are officially in retail. LFG.
You're just going to stand next to the clothes like, "Hey, what do you think of that shirt?
What do you think about that one?"
Well,
pretty cool, huh?
I will do some on-site pushing, but I'm going to take a picture and post it to social media so that we can expand our reach a little bit rather than the 50 people in the store passing by. I really do think that could be huge for us, though. Margin's not big, yes, but the scale is huge. Like, just random people who probably don't even know who we are will buy that. So that's huge. Some sad news. Ugga.
Oh, no. I saw that. Yeah.
Grant tweeted this. I saw it. I knew that this would pull at Grant's heart heavy.
Can we do a moment of silence?
Yeah, let's do one.
Thanks,
a loyal warrior. One of the better mascots out there. I know you're a huge mascot guy, Grant. We talked about
Rufus.
Rufus at Ohio. You were just talking about the Husky. What's his name at
Dubs?
Dubs at Washington. Dubs,
yes.
So
what's is it? Buffy the Buffalo at Colorado. What's his name?
Ralphie. The live one.
That's right.
I think Chip. Maybe I'd have to fact check the guy dressed up in the costume.
Now, do you think this has anything to do with Texas coming to the SEC? Because last time Texas and Georgia played,
you think Bebo put out a hit on Ugga?
Yeah. There was a little bit of bad blood between the two.
That's crazy.
But I think Bebo died like a couple years ago too.
There's a recently new Bebo as well.
Yeah.
Well, I know this. I knew that it was.
He did a special on it one time, and Ugga lives a pretty cush life, boys.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Well, you see the PETA post? They were like, "Justice for Ugga, this poor dog. Like, continue to push our fight to get Ugga as a mascot, not an actual dog."
PETA was
like, that dog lives a better life than 90% of the people in Georgia do. Are you kidding?
I should not. Uga eats better than most people in foreign countries. Yeah,
guaranteed.
What? Yeah.
He gets transported to and from games in like a nice like custom car that's air conditioned. He's got like a fan blowing on him. He's like, this is great. He has his own hotel room.
What? His
own hotel room for
games. Oh my god!
Can you imagine checking in at the working at the Marriott? And it's like one room for this dog, please. yeah, the honeymoon suite, please, for Uga. I'll be.
Yeah.
The staff just knows, like at like 9:30 at night, he gets a specific room service of like delicious meat. Just like,
please bring Uga his champagne and kibble, please.
Yeah,
you know, it just made me think. Like, I don't know how some either professional team, semi-pro team, college team, like if they just want to have the most fans in the country, how have you just like not named yourself? We're gonna be the Grant. Name a city off the top of your head.
Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Jesus Christ.
We're going to be the Murfreesboro Golden Retrievers. And we'll have a Golden Retriever mascot. And that'll be most popular team in the country.
You could have an army of Golden Retrievers.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And then, like, outside the stadium as a part of the game day experience, you just, like, there's just thousands of Golden Retrievers that they bring in every weekend.
there's a whole section behind
it. To the game. Yeah. You'll be the most popular team in the country. You will sell out every game.
There's a whole section of just a bunch of Golden Retrievers just ready to, oh, ball, ball, ball.
Awesome. Kevin, maybe you should have been anointed the full-time athletic director of the University of Iowa. You could have changed all that. You could have made.
I mean, black and gold, you know, gold.
The Iowa Golden Retrievers could have been a thing.
Yeah, we can send a petition.
I agree, though,
Kevin. We're in good standing with the current AD, right?
Yeah. We are.
I think so.
We are.
Maybe.
Only us three, though, I think. So in the most superficial way, I simply searched top 10 college mascots and wanted to get your take, Grant, on this, specifically you.
Okay.
By briefly going through this,
Puddles.
Okay. I think you're going to have a...
Is this live mascots or just the mascot in general?
I think it's just the mascot. So you have,
because this is, I was going to say Puddles is cheating, but also there's a weird debate over, some people just call it the Oregon Duck and then they're really offended if you say Puddles. Like, I think Puddles is like a,
do they have a live duck named Puddles?
No, Puddles is the old name. Apparently.
Oh. Like,
apparently it's not Puddles anymore. And they get, so some people still use, and some people are really offended if you don't.
You know what I like to see? I'd like to see a fight between the Oregon Duck and the Miami Duck.
Ooh, that's a great point. I think technically it's a cane.
Yeah, but he's a duck.
Or a crane. My apologies.
Okay, Uga was second on here.
Okay. All right, now this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Third, this list is faulty for having Stanford number 3. I cannot stand this guy. I cannot stand this guy running around in a leprechaun costume, and they call, and like, this is a, I can't stand this guy, the Notre Dame mascot.
How about Mike? They don't even have a picture of this guy. He must be under the.
Oh, well, I'm a big fan of Mike the Tiger.
Mike the Tiger from LSU.
Mike's pretty cool.
Brutus at number 6, and I just don't feel that.
I'm okay with Brutus. I'm fine with Brutus. I don't really have anything against him. I think he's a fine mascot. What's number?
He's a nut.
Chief Osceola.
Ooh, oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good mascot.
That should be higher.
That's racist and also a great mascot.
I'll say, like, once every 3 weeks, I'll just Google like 2012 Florida State entrance. And it's so awesome. He just got
the Fighting Illini. I used to have a good chief back in the day before they canceled him. It was like 20 years ago before canceled.
I'm surprised Osceola is still kicking and they haven't canceled that guy.
I think the Seminole tribe, like, actually, like, they're about it.
Yeah. They adopt it.
They like him. Yeah.
Yeah. Aubie the Tiger at 8.
Aubie's respectable. I think Aubie's fine there.
Okay. How about Sparty at 9?
Mm. I do like Spartans as a mascot. I don't know anything that that Sparty specifically is doing to put him on this list.
Well,
I think Spartan is a good mascot, though.
I agree with that.
Smokey at 10.
Smokey.
Smokey is great. Especially, they didn't use live Smokey for this photo, but Live Smokey is awesome.
Live is probably always going to be better than not live.
Well, especially the dogs.
Right.
Yeah. Has there been any other live animals on this thing? I know we've had a couple live
fish. No, it was just Ugga.
Let's think.
But they didn't put Bevo on here.
It'd be funny if they just wheeled out a giant
Bevo and Ralphie should probably be on those. I feel like live animals are...
I go live animals first. Those are immediately my top.
And I'm gonna be honest. I think Washington got snubbed. I think Dubs got snubbed.
Is Auburn's the eagle like their actual mascot, or like do they
have War Eagle comes from this weird like I host a podcast with two Auburn people, so I've heard
you do. Really? You have a podcast? What's its name?
It's called the In the Kitchen Podcast. Sometimes happens, sometimes it doesn't. But there's a but it's some like they had some eagle circling the stadium sometime, and they were like, "It's a war eagle. We're going to war. We're playing football." That's where it comes from.
Okay. Well, I know they still do like the bird thing. So, but that's not their mascot. They have
they're the Tigers. Tiger.
Yeah. Name.
Underrated one though, I will say, is Kansas State. I used to think it was kind of weird, but it's just a jacked dude wearing football pads, but he wears the mascot head still.
Well, I'm gonna.
I think it kind of works.
Could you pull him up?
Yeah. I don't know his name.
And yeah, I was gonna say, what is his name? The K-State.
USC, the Trojans, it's got to be
probably Trojans pretty good.
Top 20.
Yeah. Trojans definitely better than the Leprechaun.
I seriously, I cannot, like, that's blood boilingly mad. I cannot stand that dude.
Grant is.
He drives me insane.
Ultra offended. I knew that this would get you going, Grant. So I'm just happy to bring this topic to the show.
This is Willie the Wildcat.
Okay. By the way. Yeah.
I used to think it was weird. It's grown on me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't like that. That looks possessed, man. I don't
love it, but it's not as bad as the Leprechaun, in my opinion.
How about Herky?
Herky's good.
Herky's a solid mascot.
Yeah. My new dream job, by the way, is to be the guy who drives the ATV that brings Herky out. I would love just the game day operations. That's my job. I would be.
You're just waiting.
I would be doing like donuts and stuff as soon as we got out there. We'd be turning it into a joyride.
You're just waiting for that call, like Herky is in the house.
Oh, I love that dude. Yeah.
Fun fact: Herky grabbed my ass one time.
Oh,
he was I there for that? I feel like I remember this.
You probably were. I mean, it was at like a event where we were taking, signing autographs, taking pictures. And
yeah.
Now there's going to be an ESPN documentary on.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's like seven different Herkies per year. So we don't
on Herky the pedophile.
And it's not a good one. Maybe. It's like
hearkening back to Grant's
past. No idea if it's a chick or a dude or what, but yeah. One of the Herkies back.
You didn't know? Oh, I thought it was like, it's Herky's my friend.
Well, but
we have no idea who Herky is.
Kev, you could share what Bo said about your butt this weekend in the Snapchat.
I'm not going to. No, nope.
Okay.
Nope. No.
I told my wife about that, by the way.
Yeah, he's said that for a number of years now. That's not a new comment.
Right.
He's told me that before.
And, yeah. He's got something for your butt. I don't know.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I certainly should. Okay. You want to hear a fun fact of the day?
Yeah. Yeah. We like fun facts.
Saw this on Twitter. There is not a single after the most recent, we're down to four teams in the NFL. A lot of coaching carousel going on there as well. There is not a single offensive coordinator still left at their job from 2022 in the NFL right now.
What do you mean?
Every single offensive coordinator is new on their team in the last 2 years in the NFL.
Oh, okay. Really? Well,
I saw this. I don't know if it's true. I bring things here. I don't know if they're actually fun facts or they're just fun, incorrect statements. But what I saw was if you go to any NFL team right now today, January 24th, 2024, the offensive coordinator was not the offensive coordinator just 2 years ago for every single thing. So
interesting. Why do you think that is?
Because I think that coordinator jobs in the NFL are the number one spot that people look for new NFL head coaches, but also a ton of college head coaches as well.
I'm going to use that. Yes, the top offensive coordinators are always at the top of list for new head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
And there's always like 5 head coaching jobs available per year. But you're also in the NFL, right? And you can't really claim lack of talent.
No.
So if the offense is bad, there's a ton of accountability on the offensive coordinator. And you got a very short leash before you're going to get run out of town.
I'll also say it's because, just like Kevin said, they will fire your ass. And there's a ton of talent from underneath. Not only is the NFL OC a great launch spot to be a head coach at either pro or college, but it's a nice landing spot for a ton of head coaches that decide that they're going to ascend to the NFL, or coordinators from college that decide they're going to ascend to the NFL. So it's just a spot that sees a lot of turnover. It just naturally is that way. So
that's still an insane stat.
Absurd.
Every single one of them gone.
That's what it said. And there's probably somebody like, well, no, I root for this team. We've had the same OC for like 5 years, but
I can't.
To be fair, though, it's like there's a handful of people that are still called. Like Andy Reid, I believe, still calls the plays for
sure.
Trying to think who else.
Well, because for a long time, the Chiefs had the enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was there for like 5 years at least. He was pretty loyal, and he was like on the top of the head coach jump job. And then he finally took a job where?
He's in Washington.
He's the head coach at Washington?
I think he's still an OC.
Or he went OC to Washington.
Or they had Rivera. But
okay. All right. Well, in the spirit, in the transition, the nice little segue of OCs, still no OC. We're going to say that until it happens. But the new rumor is Kevin Johns from Duke. OC.
I did see that rumor. Yeah.
And quarterback coach, currently at Duke. Who knows if it's true? Most people get their rumors from like Ike Holt or Leistico and their private groups, and those reporters/beat writers know stuff and have contacts. So who knows if that came from there or another source? But
remind me, was he there this prior year and stayed with man who took that job? Because the Duke head coach went to A&M.
Elko went to A&M.
Was he part of Elko's staff and stayed at Duke, or
Grant's going to have to pull that up because I know nothing.
Because who?
Kevin Johns.
Who took the Duke job? I'm trying to forget.
Kevin Ward did. Kevin Ward has ascended into the coaching ranks.
You couldn't pay me to live in North Carolina.
Manny Diaz. I forgot.
That is right. Manny Diaz took that coaching job there.
And then OC, I'm going to say yes for now. He was the OC this past year. But if I find something else, I don't hate.
I don't know anything about him.
But. Yes, he was. Sorry. He was the offensive coordinator and QB coach in the 22-23 season.
I'm pretty sure that Duke was pretty decent on offense, especially for the talent that they had.
Yeah, they had a solid season for sure.
So do you want to pull – well, I can just pull that up. I would love if KF just went out and got somebody random like that nobody expected in the first place. I'm searching D1 total offense rankings. Go to my trusty total offense.
Well, theirs is going to be a little, with how injured they got around like week 6, it's going to be a little messed up.
Anything's better
than last.
Yeah. Says they are 94th, but
I'd say they would have been around 60 maybe if they kept everyone healthy.
So 94th, they finished the season with an average of just beneath 350 yards a game. We've talked about on this podcast how if we were at 350, that would get it done for the Hawkeyes. And Grant says they were ravaged with injuries. If they were up near 60th, that would have been an extra like 30 to 40 yards per game. So that's possible.
Basically negligible.
380, 390 a game.
Yeah, so just running through their season, you know, 28-7 over Duke, 42-7 over Lafayette, 38-14 over Northwestern, 41-7 over UConn, lose to Notre Dame 14-21, beat NC State 24-3, lose to Florida State. They put up 20 on Florida State's defense, which was actually elite this year. And then I think that's when they actually started getting hit with the injury bug because they got shut up by Louisville the following week.
Their quarterback was hurt, right?
Yeah, Riley Leonard.
Yeah. That obviously is a huge factor. Mm-hmm.
Beat Wake Forest 24-21, lose in double overtime to North Carolina 45-47, lose to Virginia 27-30, beat Pitt 30-19, and beat Troy 17-10 to cap off their season. But bowl game, can't really put a whole lot of
Be nice too, because we got Troy on the schedule coming up. Seen him before.
Yeah.
Hey. He actually would be playing them back-to-back games, I think. Don't we open the season with Troy?
Yeah, I think
that'd be actually kind of cool.
So that would be an interesting hire. I think for a brief moment, the Twitter probably started this one, but I think Chip Kelly was being floated as like a meme possibility. Could you imagine that?
I cannot imagine his style coming.
KF and Chip Kelly, same staff. That just doesn't seem like it would ever happen on this universe, but who knows, man? KF could pull something out of his pocket and just shock the world. It would be incredible.
It would be.
Grant Allen, offensive coordinator, Iowa Hawkeyes. Yeah, the sass. Wait a second. Me?
Did I just get drafted? What? Me? Yeah.
That's a great video. So who knows? Still no hire yet. We are 24 days in January, more than 3 weeks past the bowl game. We are outside of the window where Kirk said that this was hoping to be done. So, but for all those out there, I see the panic. I see the, this must mean nobody wants to come. Like, I understand like the sort of like fan insecurity of that is like, this feels like a bad thing because
it could just say insecurity.
Yeah, or the insecurity of that. I mean, just like it's sort of specific to sports is what I'm saying. It's like KF, just trust him. Trust. Like they know what they're doing. And this is probably where like, well, of course, the Ferentz apologists, of course, they're fine with it not happening yet. They do. So I think it's more of just like a, like the guy knows what he's doing. He's got a bunch of other staff that know what they're doing. The Iowa job, regardless of you know, the reasons or arguments against why you would want to come and be the offensive coordinator at Iowa, there are plenty of people out there who would see that job as like, oh my God, I would love that. And
any job that's paying seven figures to coach football ain't too bad.
Yeah. Could we get you to take that job, Kev?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we could. I don't think you would if for some reason on like everyone else died that had offensive coaching ability and they came to you, Kevin, and they were like KF was like, Kevin, it's down to this. Like we'd like to offer you the offensive coordinator job. I don't think that you would take it.
You think I'd turn it down?
Yes. I don't think
offering seven figures, I'm taking that job.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna run the fucker into the ground, but
are you gonna run the triple option?
I might. I honestly might.
A wing T?
I'm not that smart on offense, so I only want to be able to call like five plays. So
yeah. Yeah.
That'd be helpful.
Nice. That'd be cool. I'd be down for that. I would support you.
Would you be a visor coach guy or a hat guy?
A visor.
Oh, definitely a hat guy. No.
Kevin in a visor. That'd be cool.
I feel like are there any visor coaches outside the SEC?
I think Helton at USC war advisor?
Is Mike Gundy a visor guy?
Ooh, is he?
Ooh, I think he is.
I feel like he has been at least sometimes.
I think Lane Kiffin is.
I was just going to say, I feel like we've seen Lincoln Riley in a visor once or twice as well.
Gundy's a visor guy. Does Sean Payton count? He's a visor guy.
Well, no.
It must be used to be like a southern thing because
could be.
Sean Payton spent a lot of time in New Orleans. I know Kirby Smart's a visor guy.
Yeah. He's the visor guy.
The thing is, I feel like if you get mad, you can't throw a visor quite with the same amount of intensity that you can throw a hat.
Oh, how could we forget Bob Stoops, visor guy?
There you go. That's southern. I think it's got to be the southern half of the United States. I don't think. Find me a coach.
No, there's above no
Dixon that's wearing a visor.
Above the Mason Dixon? Oh no, Navy's not either. it's technically below it. Oh yeah, we're in trouble here.
Yeah, so interesting. We'll see where that goes. Who knows? Ongoing storyline. Want to get your thoughts
on this question though. It's like, are you going to wear a visor on my sideline?
Yeah. So, you know, we'll get to your offensive philosophy here in a second, but are you going to be a visor guy?
You a visor guy?
It's that's like Colin Cowherd's number one concern with his offensive.
Well, is it going to be backwards or not?
Yeah. This guy wearing a backwards.
Majority of offensive coordinators though are usually in the booth though, and some of them might not be wearing any sort of headgear.
You're right.
That's true.
Kev, your thoughts on this? Did you see the development in the gambling stuff, the DCI?
Yeah, the little warrantless wire surveillance, if you will.
Not supposed to do that.
No, you're not. I mean,
that's
the guy just assumed that we let the NSA get away with it. So he's like, I guess I can do it too.
Yeah, we got some rogue agent named Brian Sanger.
Here's the thing that he didn't think about, though, is people care a lot more about their college football than their basic fundamental rights.
Yeah. I'm blown away, honestly. I think a lot of people are like totally like, what was this guy doing? Like,
I'm guaranteeing this dude is just like bored in his office. Is like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'm just going to like check where people are betting and
guaranteed. Did you see how it happened? He had access to like a technology where he could like geofence specific buildings.
Yep.
So first of all, me and Drake talked about this on DHT yesterday. That's crazy that we have that technology anyway.
Oh, dude, that's so basic.
I realize that's basic, but it's just like also that's crazy that we're there as a society. Like we're that.
Dude, every company that you can possibly think of, when they're running like their ads, they do geofencing.
I know. It's just I think geofencing is a wild concept that like we've been able to create as humans. That's just what I'm saying. It's like it's just interesting to me. But I think you're right. I think he's like, I got this cool software. I can just check specific buildings if I want to. Hey, let's do a dorm room on the University of Iowa. Oh yeah, they're gambling there, huh? I wonder if I did.
Who would have thought?
yeah, a bunch of 18.
How'd you do it? How'd you figure that out?
And then he was told no. They told him no. You can't do that. And then he did it to the football complex. I assume it's the football complex, the athletic facility that they're talking about in the report. And I don't know if his superiors thought at that point he had then gotten a tip, or he was doing it in a process of which it would be legal and like it was the correct route. And then they're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, you can follow up on that. And then they just bent these kids over. I mean, this guy, prison?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know the rules.
You can imagine what Drake said the solution should be.
Something very unflattering to this gentleman, I'm sure.
I believe he said his first response was in speculation. This guy's going to get clipped.
Sounds like a standard Drake response.
That was the really mild and shortened version of what he had to say. DHT, patreon.com/washedupwalkons if you want to get the full episode there. Grant was unfortunately unable to make that one. So, but we had a great time. Do I have anything else for tonight? I don't think I do.
No, I just think that's such weird. Like, with great power comes great responsibility, right? You have this awesome tool. Why are we using it on like underage kids gambling? I mean, it's like, I feel like we got bigger issues to be cracking.
Not only
on.
That, but why did he just like, he did the dorm room, saw that there was gambling activity, decided, okay, but they're not important though. So let's go and see if we can dog some athletes on this.
Like, it's just,
that's what gets at me. I don't like
bullied by athletes back in the day.
This guy was definitely shoved in a locker by the quarterback of his high school or something like that.
He just has a huge vendetta against Kirk Ferentz. He's just, yeah, Kirk Ferentz bullied me in high school.
Well, Iowa State got hit harder than Iowa did.
Yeah, maybe he's, I don't know, he's a Nebraska fan or something. I don't know.
It could be, yeah. I don't know. I think he should be fired. And
back to the root of it, though, like, again, these athletes knew they weren't supposed to be gambling.
To be fair, yes.
I don't care, Kevin. I don't care. This is illegal.
Yeah, I don't foresee legal action coming, but it's possible. I don't know.
They should somehow pursue it until they take every penny he's worth and more. It's disgusting. I've got nothing else.
Can I ask you guys about something?
Yeah.
Maybe I missed it. You guys talked about it sometime and I forgot. This AJ Ferrari guy from wrestling. He has a Twitter account. He posts things sometimes.
Mr. Fast Twitch.
Some call him Mr. Fast Twitch.
I'm willing to bet I'm more Fast Twitch than him, by the way. And I'm not joking.
Oh, okay. So are you, is this another, like, I can stand up fighting Spencer?
No, I don't think I could stand up against AJ, but, just when it comes to like fast twitch muscle fibers, I literally was good at one thing and it was change of direction, which includes a severe amount of fast twitch muscles. Right. But anyway, go on.
I was just curious what you guys thought. I've never seen an Iowa recruit tweet the way he tweets.
I don't know if Kevin is even aware of the situation.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I just want to hear your thoughts.
Saying that odds are that this kid's eventually going to be a Hawkeye, but
yeah.
I mean,
if I were the head coach of a program, I would not touch this kid or this family with a 10-foot pole. You're a great player, great wrestler, great athlete. This place is not for. This is not going to work. But I'm not the head coach, so you know, doesn't matter what I think.
It is interesting to me that
sometimes it's better to pass on talent.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that brands would even entertain it. With how outwardly obnoxious this kid is on social media. I mean, he speaks in third person. Like, I'm pretty sure the tweet that I saw, he just put up a picture of like him and his brother, I think. And they were at like a UFC training facility. And he said something along the lines of, should Mr. Fast Twitch, like forgo his opportunity in the college realm where he called it like some weird like chaos.
Yeah, you know how I made fun of the Nebraska quarterback commit?
Yeah.
This is like 10 times worse.
It's 10 times worse, huh?
It's significantly worse, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I would shoot myself if I had to coach this kid.
It seems like it, yeah. It seems like, yeah, here we go. Mr. Fast Twitch, the fight game. He's got a bunch of emojis in there. Should AJ Ferrari, AJ Ferrari's the one tweeting this. Should AJ Ferrari give up on the liberal snowflake, quote, Christina loving, end quote, industry of NCAA wrestling and USA wrestling and go into the real alpha male industry of MMA?
Yes, yes. You're perfect. Your personality is perfect for MMA, for just a solo sport, not a team sport. Please do that. Please do that.
It does seem like he's more suited there.
It seems like this kid's trying to be Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he's taking the social media / personal brand to like the ultimate level, and he is. I mean, I've got a pretty big ego, but I mean, this guy blows me out of the water.
Are you sure? Are you sure he tweets this?
Like, who else would?
I don't know. Sometimes his people mom? Have. I don't know. Someone
apparently
else.
Apparently, like the family.
That it wouldn't be the first time that that's ever happened.
Sure.
Got some work to them as well.
I mean, the kids jacked. I mean, they're great wrestlers, from what I understand.
I will say the splits is very impressive.
Yeah, he does the splits.
No, I'm not knocking his physical ability whatsoever.
I mean, he would beat my ass, but
I have one more. I'm going to pull up because
More. Wow.
Well, there's one more video that's just fantastic.
Okay.
Is it the one of him getting out of the car?
There might be a car involved in it, yes. is that so bad?
Yeah, Kev, this just doesn't, you know, you look at kids and you're like, why is Iowa football great? Why is Iowa wrestling great? Why are the sports programs so great at Iowa? And it's because the coaches generally, they recruit talent, of course, but they recruit good people. And it seems as though this AJ Ferrari guy might be there. That may be up in the air on the quality of person he is.
I just think that this type of personality is a freaking cancer in a locker room.
Yeah. I mean, didn't he just wrestle at like some meet in Iowa City?
Yeah. The soldier.
And he wrestled one of his potential teammates from Iowa.
Yep.
And shoved him or punched him in the face, and then
flipped off in a scuffle after the match. Yeah.
And then he flipped, double birded the entire crowd at Extreme Arena.
That is correct.
Double
bird in the splits is unbelievable. I mean, that's something that's I've never even seen before. A move that I couldn't pull off. I don't know. If they recruit this guy and they bring him in, then someday when we get Tom Brands on the show, I will definitely be asking about that. That would be something that I would ask about. Like, what was the decision to actually involve this kid with the Hawkeye and the black and gold? I don't know.
I think
not going to tell him how to run his program.
No.
If I would pass,
but I would be curious to know about that. Just unbelievable. I mean, what are we doing? Some exciting news. Our first guest of the offseason will be on Sunday.
Oh.
It will not be a current or former Iowa Hawkeye football player. Sort of a random one, fun one to kick off the season. Haven't told these two guys about it yet. Sunday, we will be joined by a man named Mike Schulte. That's a pretty common name.
Can I take a guess as to?
Sure.
Oh, is it?
It's Schulte? Not Schulte's dad. No relation. This man has a podcast that is pretty popular that reviews movies and does like top five movies. He's also a part of the iHeart Network. That's how we got connected. Happens to be the drummer of a popular band known as the Pork Tornadoes.
I'm in. I'm sold.
Oh, I've definitely heard of that band before.
I've seen them. I saw them 4 or 5 years ago. Didn't know this guy was a part of it. But he has a podcast. He's under the same network as us. We got hooked up with Luke and Matt. They put us in contact. Huge Iowa fan as well. Obviously, there's some relevance there. Like, he loves the Hawks. He listens to our show. And we're going to get his background on his Iowa fandom, on the Pork Tornadoes as a band, a musical group. And then the back half of the show, we are going to be doing a top five. Haven't done one in a while. Top five sports movies of all time with Mike Schulte.
Wow.
So you two need to put together your list. All sports movies.
Could get very contentious.
And he's like, I'm going to send you guys his account, like his Instagram account. They have like 20,000 followers. They have a huge podcast that's like movie themed.
Okay.
And so he's legit into it. Like, he's going to bring the heat, and he's probably seen every movie that we're going to have on our list. So,
well, I'm excited now.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. I know you're a movie guy, Grant. So this is big.
I'm definitely not as big of a movie guy as him, but I'm going to get schooled.
Now. What'd you say, Kev?
That's a good top five. I can't believe we haven't done it already.
Yeah, I haven't either. And so it actually worked perfectly. So excited to bring on our first guest. Hopefully the first of many great guest episodes this offseason. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons for the extra exclusive content, the DHT, the Drake and Gary Friday. Head out to Shields. Grab the official Hawks by a Million merchandise. We are in retail. And we appreciate you listening each and every week. Until Sunday with Mike, we'll talk to you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a Million.